Well, good evening, everybody. This is the return trip of You Have Tread on Me Radio, Survival Sunday. We are live once again and on our own stream. I've got Randy Mack with me. How you doing this evening, Randy?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? Well, hey, listen, since we just started off and everything, we don't have any intro music or anything like this yet. Let's just kind of keep the talk light for a moment until we get everybody plugged in. Didn't get a chance to tell everybody we were going live yet, so I just let them know. So hopefully everybody's listening in now, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, probably need to be sure we give them the alternate URL in the chat room again, the endtheparty.org/YHTOM. I didn't have direct access to the URL on the site, so I had to make a quick alternate to get it up and run it tonight. We should have all that resolved here in the next few days. By next week, we should be 100% operational again. And moving forward with all the wonderful topics y'all have come to know and love.
We got music now on the play, right, I guess. That's what Scrubmaster's hearing is music. Is there a delay on the feed, on the stream?
Yeah, there's probably about a 30 to 60 second delay on the stream. And yes, there was a little bit of music. I played the fanfare for the Common Man intro and went in on that. But I've got it on my player and I can hear us talking, so we should be good to go. With any luck at all, and I was having problems with the setup up until the very last minute, you know, so I didn't get to do the testing I wanted to do, you know, with this, unfortunately. But, you know, hey, it comes with the territory when we're busy like we are. We just got off of question 46 talking about home defense. That was a good program, quite useful topic.
Well, you know, a lot of people, when they think about home defense, they think about grabbing the gun and doing a lot of shooting, but, you know, there's a lot more to it than that. In fact, that should be the option of last resort.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got that 100% right. Like I was saying, you know, the mind is our most powerful tool as far as defending ourselves, and just indiscriminately coming out shooting isn't necessarily going to end well. And it's certainly going to require a lot of paperwork, you know, when you can think your way out of it or escape the situation or talk your way out of it. It really depends on the situation because no two situations are going to be anywhere near the same. We don't know what's going to happen. So we have to be prepared for everything and have a mindset where, you know, we've got the ability to, you know, deal with whatever comes up.
All right. All right, listen, before I get started on the show, I wanted to go over some a few points real quick. Like I said, we've got a new show. We've got a new stream going. This is our maiden voyage on it, this show. So if there's any problems at all with the show or if you're having problems hearing it, let us know in the chat room so we can try and figure out where the problems are coming from and what we're doing. So this is kind of, you're the guinea pigs out there tonight. Also, like Dave said earlier, the chat room that you're on right now, we were having problems getting the transition to the You Have Tread on Me site done. So that's going to take a couple more days doing that. So Dave cloned this one. But after this and maybe the Militia Monday show, all of the shows, you'll be able to go straight to youhavetreadonme.com and listen in there. We're going to have an 800 number probably next week. So you will be free to call in now for free. You will no longer have to pay on your own dime to call in. Participation is greatly encouraged. This is not our show. We are not the end-all, be-all experts. Nobody out there is the one source of info and superfluous knowledge on everything out there. So please, you know, this is your show. This is the militia show. This is the survivalist out there show. Call in. Even if you disagree with what we're saying, call in. Let's debate. Let's talk. Let's share ideas. Not looking for
sick
kiss asses. You know, I don't need sick kiss asses. If you disagree with something, let it be known. Let's get it out in the open. Let's talk about it. Your idea might be better.
Yep, that's how we learn from each other. And we also have the ability to bring people in via Skype. And in fact, we can do that right now. we have that capacity at the moment. So we're going to keep growing this and expanding this and trying to simulcast these shows on various other dedicated streams. But we will always have the You Have Tread on Me stream, so we can have shows, you know, whenever the need arises to have topics and have the ability to carry our conversations on as long as it's useful. Right now we're as free as we were, actually more so than on Blog Talk. We certainly don't have the problems with the Blog Talk technology, and we don't have all that advertising and funky stuff in a way. We're trying to engineer this for the best listening experience for everybody.
All right, there's also an announcement I'd like to make. Gary Hunt, who has been on the show many times, one of my go-to people, and the creator of the plan, the great, one of the guys who's bringing us all this wonderful info on committees of safety, militia history, things like that. He's helping to put together something called Rifle Stock 2011, the Border Protection Picnic Project. If you don't mind, I'd like to read something real quick that Gary sent me about this, telling what it's about. And it says, basically, Rifle Stock 2011, Border Protection Picnic Project. It is time for us to show what we are made of. But how can we do that? Suppose a couple thousand patriots and their families showed up near the Mexican border, somewhere in Arizona, for a weekend of fun, music, games, shooting, hiking, and good old-fashioned camaraderie. Would this event be newsworthy? Perhaps approaching that of Woodstock back in 1969? Would it send a message to the government that, if you won't protect our borders, then we will? Rifle Stock is not intended to be a border operation in itself, build the ability to see the damage done, take pictures of illegal critters, and perhaps scare the hell out of some of them by your sheer numbers, and to actually visit the site of America's ongoing war with the illegal border crossings is in the offing. The event is intended to run from Friday, March 18th, through Sunday, March 20th, with a pig roast on Saturday evening. Then have a matanza. Facilities will include day trailer park or dry trailer parking, dry tent camping facilities, no toilet facilities, bring a shovel if you're tent camping. There will be no alcoholic beverages since they don't mix well with firearms, which will be enforced if necessary. Please don't make it necessary. Be an adult in this. If this sounds like your ideal for a spring break vacation, please indicate your tentative, non-binding intent to participate. We need to know just how many people might attend and to what form of camping trailer tent setup that they're going to need. And would like to know that you are not alone in saying this as the vacation of your dreams. Please go to Riflestock 2011 and sign up so that we can get a head count on how many will be in this spectacular event. You can find info for this at www.riflestock.com. This is going to be an event that Gary has helped put together up there. Important issue up there. This really is. It is just a symptom of the overall problem. The border is not the problem. Taxation is not the problem. Corrupt politicians are not the problem. They're just symptoms of the overall problem. The overall problem, in my honest opinion, is the American people. We have lost our way. We no longer stand up for what is ours and what is ours by right. Our freedom. They can only take our freedoms if we'd let them, and they can only be corrupt if we allow it to happen. So I think that's the overall problem, is we, the people, we need to change who we are. We need to get back to some very basic ideals, very basic morals, very basic standards, very basic view on life. That keeping the Joneses and the Smith competition is kind of what got us here with these problems that we have, because we got sidetracked into from being American patriots and citizens to becoming consumers.
Yeah, you are so right about that. You hit the nail on the head. We've allowed this to happen. We're here, but in spite of the fact that, we got a few people out there trying to do something, but the masses have become complacent and apathetic. And nobody's doing anything. Nobody's standing up for themselves. Not like in days of old when the colonies were founded. The abuses by the crown were far less severe than what we're enduring right now. And those people took a stand, a meaningful stand, and did something about it. So it's really about time that we get with the program here and start doing useful, meaningful things, you know, to make things a little bit better. And we start from the bottom up.
You know, so far, they've been promoting this now for a couple of days, apparently. And response has been pretty good. You know, they've got well over 100 sign-ups already, people that are saying they're going to go. People from all over, Arizona, California, all over the place. If you can, make it a priority to be down there. You know, let the farmers and the ranchers and the people know that we're tired, we're just not having this anymore. We will have safe borders. But not only that, though, that we as a sovereign people are going to start beginning to stand up and enforce our will, which was always our duty. It was always our duty to do that. So let them know, the time for games are over. We are now standing up as a people. We are not having this anymore. We are tired. And this is us standing up and saying no. No more. We've had enough. You can get in touch with Gary Hunt about it if you have any questions. So he's in the chat room as well. And like he said, we expect that there'll be a lot of YouTube videos that will be showing up, showing what it's really like at the border. There's already a bunch out there as well. So please, if you're able to, and even if you got to struggle to get down there, make it worth that effort. Make that effort to get down there and do what you can. Just a presence, you know, this is not a border op, this is not any kind of an operation like that, or a militia movement. This is not a militia operation at all, in fact. This is an armed picnic. People going out in the desert, man, having fun, doing whatever it is they're going to be doing. Please, no booze again, as we mentioned. Keep that at home. So please start getting involved. Start doing something. Start making it a point to show that you've had it. You're not putting up with it, and this is the beginning, and this is a start. Hopefully this can help start leading into bigger and better things for everybody out there. So other than that, so that's my spiel there on Rifle Stock 2011. Again, the website for that is www.riflestock.com. If you have any questions, get with Gary Hunt about that. Kind of rusty here. Haven't done this in six, 8 weeks?
Yeah, we kind of took the holidays off to rest, recuperate, recharge, and regroup, and plan this out for a little bit more meaningful rise from the ashes. We've got some big things planned, and we're going to try to grow this and be as serious about this as possible. There's a lot to do in the technology. This is actually our test show. So there's liable to be a few glitches and problems, with the radio event that we had yesterday for United We Strike, and with Question 46 appearance coming today. We just, didn't have enough time to get everything as done as we wanted to, but we're going to continue working on it and improving it. So, your feedback is much appreciated, and please bear with us on the whole thing. As far as people wanting to Skype in, you're going to have to give me your Skype ID in chat, and then I can add you in to the call if you want to join us, because I have to initiate the call right now. It is what it is. The technology will get better as we add the other voice over IP solution for the 800 number for the call-in. It's going to be kind of an interesting journey here. We're going to try to start simulcasting this in some other networks and really reach out and get as many folks as we can. And by taking sovereign control of our infrastructure, problems like we were having with Blog Talk, we can actually address those. We can fix things, with the players and the streams and move forward in a more meaningful fashion. Blog Talk worked pretty good for us in the beginning, but it perpetually got worse and was having lots of problems, and I think it was driving a lot of people away. It was, certainly painful at times. And I remember days where I was hard-pressed to keep the stream, running for more than 10 minutes, and sometimes it took me a half hour to get it started in the first place. So we're trying to address all those things the best we can. Again, this is our test show. It is being recorded. We will be posting archives shortly. It won't be quite as quick this first time around as old Blog Talk paradigm, but we'll get there. I've got a way to automate all of this, and over the next couple weeks, it'll all come together quite nicely.
Well, that's a point. That's a good point, though. You know, the next couple of shows, we're gonna figure out where all the bugs are at. We did a test. We've done a couple test runs. They did a couple test runs before. With the United We Strike Marathon, did a 12-hour gig with that. A couple of other test runs, but
18 hours.
18 hours. but each test runs a little different.
It was exhausting.
So we'll get this one figured out over the next day or two, and if you're having problems, like I said, the first thing you want to try and do is, if you're having problems, really, I'm probably not going to hear the instructions, maybe after on the archive. But if you're having problems, try and shut the page down and refresh refresh the page. If that doesn't work, shut the page down and come back in. If that doesn't work, let us know, figure out what it is. It's probably something on your end then at that point, because there are people listening in right now. So we can try and help you figure out where it is you're having problems at.
If you have one of the Shoutcast mobile apps, you can go into the directory and you can find You Have Tread on Me right on the mobile app, and play it on your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your Android right now. And in fact, I've got my iPod sitting here playing the stream back, over the internet, so I can get a little bit of feedback off the stream server to make sure that we're coming through relatively clearly. I'm currently hosting the hub, and my Wi-Fi, my broadband connection is, let's just say it leaves a little bit to be desired. Randy's connection is much more solid, and when we get the technology worked out here in the next couple days, Randy will be hosting the hub, and we should have a lot fewer connectivity issues.
All right, well, enough of that, man. Enough of our excuse-making and stuff like that, just in case we have a bad stream. Let's get on to real stuff. Let's start talking about what's important in life and what everything else, what's important most for our species. Survival. Welcome to Survival Sunday, everyone. Earlier today, we were on the show with Question 46 on our monthly round table where we discussed many different things, everything from militia to firearms, committees of safety. Tonight, we were talking about home invasions. And for anybody who hasn't heard our show before, you can find our archives at blogtalkradio.com/RandyMack. We did a couple shows on home invasions before and, and security within your own home. I would encourage everybody to go back and listen to those. They were very detailed, and we went into a lot of detail there. Something I wanted to talk about, though, and we brought up this point as well, preparedness is always key. If you have no plan, if you fail to plan, then you better plan on failing.
Yeah, exactly.
We have fire drills that we do in schools and buildings and things like that. Everybody has an evacuation plan, things like that. And home invasions are no different. We should all plan for that as well. Various situations, scenarios, we should have the tools and equipment we might need in case of one. Something I hadn't thought of before that Joan had mentioned was think about what you see on TV and other things like that, or what you've read in the paper from other home invasions or business invasions where people were taken hostage. People were tied up, things like that. They were dumped off into places. And I used to have a gun in every room, but a gun is not going to get me untied. And John had brought up that good point. He had brought up the point that, you, as well as you're planning, you should have a knife available, secreted somewhere away in every room as well. Closets, basements, attics, wherever. You never know where you could get stuck.
Absolutely. I've got a rather nifty knife that I can wear around my neck. It actually looks like a dog tag. A friend of mine has a custom knife company, North New Orleans Blade Works, and they'll be going live on their site here probably in the next couple of weeks, selling these products and some other ones. D2 tool steel, and the dog tag knife, is a dog tag that, an intruder is not going to, think that's anything special, but the bottom edge of that is a razor sharp, and you can just wear it around your neck up under your shirt with a little plastic sleeve over it to protect yourself, like the plastic sleeves that the military used to silence the dog tags. I mean, it'll just look like a dog tag. They're not going to think that that's any kind of a threat. And then you've got that sharp object to cut yourself free or even to use as a weapon. Some of the other knives that will be coming out in the future are in a very tactically oriented and very unique. The product line they're coming out with is stuff that's never been seen anywhere before. We've got some very unique designs. So as more information becomes available, I'll certainly post some links up, you know, so people can get in touch with them and see what they've got to offer. I had meant to bring that up on question 46, but, you know, with time constraints and, you know, so many other, facets of the topic, it just ended up slipping my mind after I thought of it.
Well, you know, good old Made in America ingenuity again, man. There you go, some American-made blades, because I know that I have looked long and hard. I try to only buy, you know, Made in America and things like that. Made in Canada, Made in America, hard to find. Most knives are made in China now, so... Hey, keep us informed. Let us know when they get up and running, man. I'd love to buy some American-made knives again.
Well, absolutely. I certainly will. And there's a plethora of other products that will be coming out that are survival and tactics-oriented. You know, so you know, as those become available, we'll definitely showcase them up on our websites and get people in touch with them so they can get the order in. It takes a little bit to get those done because they're all custom handmade. And it is 100% domestic. All the companies involved, for suppliers to Heat Treat, are all inside the USA, and we are very proud of that fact. We are embracing our industry again.
Hey, Dave, I got a question, man. Gary Hunt, Gary.Hunt OPF, is he trying to get onto the Skype thing?
I don't know. I can bring him on. If people need to get Skyped in, I you have to tell me in the chat room, and then I can Skype you in. You can try to call, but it's not gonna do anything useful. So if you want come on in, Gary, give me a sec. I'll add you to the Skype contacts, and we'll see about getting you on the air with us.
All right, Gary, Dave's going to be sending you up now. Like I said before, Dave said, if you want to come on, let us know, and we'll add you to the contact list on this one, and we'll bring you in through Skype for now. We're going to bring Gary on, I guess, here in a second. Glad to hear that the stream is working. Glad to hear the stream is working better than Blog Talk, so our goal was achieved then. I know the stream with Blog Talk was really bad. There's something that we have to think about, though. The very basics of survival, though, before you can have plans and decide what you're going to do for any kind of a situation that might arise, whether it's a hurricane, tornado, flooding, you name it, whatever, man, earthquake, natural disaster of some kind, Martian invasion, who knows. You have to understand what survival really is and what it means. And start really thinking about the mindset of survival. The concept of survival is not one for a lazy mindset, the procrastination mindset. Survival truly is a lifestyle. It's a way of life. It's a way of thought. For instance, the human species is not a linear thinking creature. We were never meant. We're not structured to be a linear thinking creature. We are hunters. We think non-linearly. And yet today, we see most people, they can barely put, A plus B equals C. Yet if you look in the woods and you see a fox that is running along a game trail that it's been running along for all of its life, and something has changed, a tree falls in the middle of the pathway, it doesn't just go over the tree. It stops and it analyzes the area. It starts to look. It starts to see what's different. It starts to look for danger signs. These are the signs of a non-linear thinking creature. This is a creature who is basing the next 5 minutes on its ability to survive. And by thinking through things, this is the concept of survival. This is the psychology of survival. It requires a lot of thinking. It requires for people not to be lazy and procrastinators. It requires work and effort and energy. It requires planning, preparation. Some food for thought there. As you're wondering to yourself whether, you're a planner or not, and if you're wondering why your preparation plans aren't quite on track, look to those areas first and see if maybe that's a problem in your area, in your personal world. Are you procrastinating? Are you not putting as much effort? Do you not even have a plan? if you don't, by all means, man, get with somebody that, you know, that is doing it, that has been there. I mean, Dave, myself, others are more than willing and available to help you out.
Absolutely. You know, hey, Randy, I'm going to bring Gary on right now. I'm adding him. He'll be with us here in just a half a second. You know, so we're just going to wait this out. Gary, you with us?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Welcome to Survival Sunday on our new stream.
Welcome to the new Survival Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, first I want to... Just fine, Randy. You?
I'm doing good.
I probably sent you the wrong address. It's Rifle Stock 2011.com. You were saying www.riflestock.com.
Yeah, that's what you sent me over. So we probably got that. We got that wrong then. So it's riflestock2011.com. Riflestock2011.com for sign up information, contact information. Go
everything.
There. Riflestock2011.com.
Yeah, if you go to the other one, you can buy Rifle Stocks. But you need the 2011 to get to our page.
All right, good to know. So what is new with you, Gary, besides this Rifle Stock thing? And, you know, let's talk about this, though, you know, because this is part of that whole survival mentality, the active participation in your own survival, survival of your country, the survival of your border, the survival of your sovereignty as a nation and a state, and as an individual. I'm assuming these are parts of the reasons that you are trying to put this Rifle Stock 2011 together.
Well, there are a number of aspects. Obviously, the more people we get, the possibility of bringing media, mainstream media attention to it is there. So that possibility exists. But a lot of people, myself included, have wondered what's going on down by the border. Now, where we're going is down by a fairly active place. We've got an off-site from, we've got people down this weekend checking the site out to make sure everything will work there. But it's about a quarter mile from the border, and you can look down from the site or points around the site to where a road crosses the border, and they've got those 18-second fences. It is primitive camping. You can bring an RV if you want, but it's primitive conditions. There is no water. There are water tanks within a short distance if you bring purification stuff. Most people are going to be tent camping. You have to bring your own food. There aren't facilities there. You have to bring, at this point, you have to bring a shovel. We're not planning on portalettes. So as far as, you know, bugging out and going out in the woods and hiding or survival away from your home, it's an ideal test of your ability to deal with that, except you will have a lot of people around in case something goes wrong. So it serves the purpose of giving you a little bit of training in some of the survival skills. It gives you an opportunity to see firsthand border operations. I imagine at least the first day we'll be able to see some people trying to cross the border and get some footage of them. You'll see the trails. You'll see the voluminous amounts of debris that they leave. They just drop when, if they have a water bottle and it runs dry or a milk jug carrying water, they throw it on the ground. They change the baby's diapers. They throw them on the ground. They drop clothes off when it gets hot. They just abandon stuff. And in talking with people, some of these trails are just strewn with garbage on both sides of the trail for miles. And the area we're going, there are miles of trail before they get approach civilization. So it's going to be an experience that I'm looking forward to. And I like to see we had 126 people pre-registered, and I think it's going to be quite an event. It may be something that you'll regret if you didn't go, just like Woodstock.
Yep, that sounds awesome, and you'll get to meet a lot of like-minded people, too.
Yes. Randy.
Sorry about that. I think we figured out why some of the people couldn't hear. They weren't aware that we had to clone a new page for a moment to get this show up and running because we couldn't implant a new player on there. So I think we figured out the problem.
You go up that little gray bar above Blog Talk, hit the little arrow.
So I think that they were still on the You Have Tread on Me site, not this clone page that we're on right now, which is at endtheparty.org/YHTOM. Like I said, though, in the beginning of the show, we'll get that fixed in the next couple of days, and this way you'll just be able to go to youhavetreadonme.com and listen in there. You know, again, you brought up a good point. You know, you can use this also as a time to get in some decent experience to see how your training is going in primitive skills. You know, just because you're going to be there with a bunch of people does not mean you can't go off and start experiencing, you know, very primitive life skills.
Well, the way we're tentatively going to set it up now is we're going to have a headquarters area. We're going to have an events area for speakers and bands if we have bands. We're going to have a parking area for people that are tent camping. We're going to have a pistol range and a rifle range, more than likely. And
oh,
we'll probably
nice.
Have a play area for the kids. Well, we're planning on it. In fact, we've been talking about what to use for targets, and a friend of mine in Washington State suggested eggs. And that's a great idea. I mean, you can't, no question whether you hit the target or not. You just put an egg on top of a post. You put a little in the post, put the egg up. If you hit the egg, it's going to fly all over. There's no cleanup afterwards or anything. So
well,
it's a single shot competition. It's a nice
way
to do things. But the camping will be clustered, say 20 people to 40 or 50 people in a cluster because of the terrain and the vegetation. We're just going to cluster a little camping area. So when you sign up, if you're militia, you can sign up as militia, and then you'll be assigned places that are with other militia, or if you've got enough from your own militia, you guys might have your own little clustered area. But it's not just a militia event. If you're with Tea Party, you can say you're with the Tea Party, and we'll cluster the Tea Party people together. Whatever organization you're with, if you've got an affiliation that you want to be a little closer to those people, a little further away from somebody else, then you just sign up for that, and you will be assigned your camping area based on that desire of yours. So we're trying to be as accommodating as possible. There's also a link for carpooling for those that want to come down. If you're a driver and are willing to take somebody, you sign up as a driver. And if you need a ride from your area, you sign up as being a rider. And we'll try and get you together. If there's a driver and a rider in the same area, we'll put them together. And this is live if you're hearing me. If you're not, it's archived. So it's, you know, we're doing the best we can in organizing this. We keep coming up with new ideas and adding things on. We're going to have some raffles of various things. And I just think it's going to be a wonderful event. If we can get 1,000 people there, I think it would be fabulous. So we just started. We've been just over a week now from inception to this point. And we're optimistic that actually it was a week ago Thursday when we actually went online with the beginning of this. So what's it, 9 days now. And we've had a good response. And it's, if you do a search for Rifle Stock 2011 on the on Google, you'll get 800 or 900 hits. So apparently it's spreading out there.
Well, good to hear, man. I'm glad to hear that. You know, we talk about you know, having a plan. And, you know, in the time for plan series, we talked about, you know, what a plan is. It has to have an objective. And what are you trying to do with the, what is the objective of this Rifle Stock 2011? What is your objective, and what are the benchmarks you're going to use to gauge the success or failure?
Well, it's there are basically two types of groups on the border. There are groups now, one not far from where we're going to be, and one that's working farther southeast that are working basically border intelligence. And I think there are some others now that have converted to this, where they stay in contact with Border Patrol and they see something and they call it in. But these guys are going down under harsh conditions, a lot of walking. It's good for young people, but a lot of walking and participation in it. But generally, if you go down for that, you're going to spend a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months down there. And then the other kind, which is kind of falling apart, are the ones that, I hate to be derogatory towards them, but Arizona Citizens Militia, where they thought they were going to go illegal hunting down there, just about, and they weren't well organized, and they almost shot their own people, and, you know, it's just chaos, and I think those are getting abandoned pretty rapidly. But unless you participate in one of those and with the border intelligence people, they really have some criteria you have to meet to participate. Or if you want to go to just shoot your buddy up, ones like ACM, there's not much you can do to go down to the border. Now, this is an opportunity for you to go down if you want to and see what is. Our hope is that we will get media attention to that, and it will start focusing people's attention on the problem with the border a little bit more, because right now, for the most part, they're getting, we've got militia groups down there, which is a negative, and occasionally there's a positive. We've got intelligence people that called BP and got a bunch of people, illegals arrested. The other one is, as I said, is a good training exercise for you to see if you might have your gear, but have you ever used it? Have you ever taken your family out away from home where you couldn't run in and use the potty and you had to bring your own food and water? So really, those are the three things. One is to get a real picture of what's happening on the border. One is to test the survival skills. And one, hopefully, is to get the national media attention pointed to the Arizona border.
Well, there's national media attention is only going to happen if we get people, if we get bodies down there, if we get participation in there. So, try make that effort to get down there. Try and make an effort to participate. I mean, change has got to begin somewhere, and it starts with you. If you're not willing to put in the effort it takes to make change, well, then I don't know how that change is going to happen. So, you know, those that would really like to make a difference, you know, see if you can't help get this thing big and get it known and get the attention out there that the, you know, national media just isn't putting on this this issue here. So, like I said, change begins with you. If you want to see that change happen, you're going to have to do something about it. Each one is individually responsible.
We haven't advertised it yet. Just an idea, though. More than likely, the price for the 3 days, this is no food included except the pig roast. That's the only meal included. But it would be about $17.50 per adult and about $12.50 per child. That's not bad for a three-day vacation.
No, not at all. In hell, you know, go get a motel room for a night. See what you see. You know, go to Motel 6. Remember when they used to run the commercials, 1999 or 95? Yeah, those days.
They used to be $6 in Motel 8. The nice place was $8 for back in the 60s and 70s. Then inflation started.
Must have been right after that guy Nixon took us off the silver standard and then took all of our jobs over to China. It must have been about that time.
It was about that time. That's when inflation really started. But when I got out of the service in 67, old 68, I was traveling around the country a little bit, and Montana from California, and then down to Texas and then Florida. And if I went to a Motel 6, it was $6. Some places they had a tax on, other places they did not. It was $6 a night for single. Oh, far cry from that nowadays. In fact, tent camping nowadays for a tent, the cheapest I've seen in a long time is somewhere between $12 and $15 a night for a single tent. So people want to charge you per head. So this is far less expensive than any camping in a campground.
Oh, absolutely. We got a lot of campgrounds around here that used to be free back in the day, and they'll bone you pretty hard. You're absolutely right. That is an absolute bargain in comparison to just about anywhere else you can go.
Yeah, I got a question. These national parks that we go camping in and stuff like that are national parks, which means they're public property, which means they're mine and yours. Not only that, but we already pay for the upkeep with them through taxation, that illegal taxation that we're not really supposed to be paying anyways. Now they want to charge you to go there.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah,
it's just
getting set
up there. You know, but these are little things that we just don't ever connect these little dots on this. You know, that goes back to that linear thinking versus critical thinking.
Yeah, even the lakes around here in the parks, they'll charge you $5 to go swimming, you know, whereas, you know, 15 years ago, you could just go and spend the whole day at the beach for absolutely nothing. It's It's really getting pretty ridiculous, and it's only going to keep getting worse until we take a stand and do something about it.
Well, when I was a kid, this is back in the 50s and early 60s, we used to go up to Yosemite National Park to go camping, and the admission fee for camping was $1 a night for a campsite. It's nominal. I mean, a dollar was a lot more. It's more like $10, I guess, now, but, it was pretty fair price for a park like Yosemite and all the maintenance they have to do on it and all the free things that you could do when you were there. But it gets out of hand. In fact, that picture of me on my icon was taken on the top of a rock outcrop in the Arizona desert by Aguila, west of Wickenburg, and it's called Eagle Eye Rock, or mountain, or whatever they call it. And it's on BLM land. Now, they never clean up the trash that's dropped by people who go through there. They never do anything, but probably about 10 years ago, they put a sign up that there's a day use fee of $15 a day once you cross into BLM land. Well, I never paid it, and I never had any intention because, I don't know, if they're just raising revenue, they're not even cleaning the place up. So, but yes, every level of government, every means of government that can get into your pocket is trying to get into your pocket now. It's gone crazy. And it's going to get worse.
Well, again, though, it comes down to, we did 11, you and I, Gary, did 11 shows on Time for Our Plan, talking about a solution to the problems that we face today, dealing with the actual problem instead of trying to solve the 10 million little symptoms of the problem. And that's all these things are. Government corruption, all this is just symptoms of the problem. We think they're the problems. They're not. They're just the symptoms. When you really think about it, what we're trying to achieve here is the survival of our country, our way of life, our freedom as a people. And, it only comes from active participation. You have to get off the computers, off the couches, away from the TVs, and back into the streets and actually taking part in your community, in your city, in your county, in your state. So, I think you kept bringing up the point, how did this election go for you? You keep asking people, and I keep asking people, so this election was supposed to save everything. You got your Republican majority now. How's that working out for you?
Well, see, I think maybe we will have to raise the debt ceiling, and maybe we can't cut all the spending we thought we could cut. Do those sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The promise
same
is
already. The solution is not going to solve itself through the existing system. That anybody that's optimistic that thinks that the election process or judicial process will change things. There's an article in my blog called "The Three Boxes." I can't even say it. Now the three boxes I'm going to rewrite because I've put a lot of thinking in it, and I think I can go a lot further in explaining why the ballot box cannot change things. But, Randy, you and I talked about this the other day, and, there's just no way the election process is going to change things because there are three different reasons why it can't work. Do you want to talk about this, Randy? Should we?
Yeah, we can talk about that. Something we've probably talked about.
Well.
I wanted to bring up a philosophical point here. Long ago, I can't even think now. Like Murray Rothbard and, even older thinkers like that, they always said that, the illusion of democracy was so we would stop, rising up every 4 or 5 years. This way, we got complacent and said, well, it's bad now, but we'll just fix it with the next election. And I noticed that everybody was saying that, this election was it. This is it. This election is going to save us or we're in trouble. Now, as of today even, I saw a blog out there on one of the militia websites that I'm on saying, Well, now we have to look forward to the 2012 election. That's the election that will save us. We just keep putting it off and off and off till the next election, till the next election, till the next election, instead of doing something now.
Yeah, that will be replaced with the 2014 election, which will be replaced with the 2016 election, and it'll go on forever like that.
It's a broken record. It just keeps looping and repeating itself, and unfortunately, the public doesn't seem to have learned their lesson from this yet, that nothing ever changes. It's the same. You know, this whole right-left, you know, system, and this is two sides of the same coin. The same corrupt special interests are running the show. It doesn't really matter who the hell you stick in there. Even if you get decent people in there, the game has become so corrupt that good people will be ineffective unless they become corrupt. It's really bad news.
Well, let's assume Let's assume you get a good person in there, and here's what happens. I'm going to use Iowa for an example. I don't even know if they have Dems in Iowa. I assume they do. But a guy from Iowa, a Tea Party candidate, very much a constitutionalist, gets elected, and he goes to Washington. And one of the things he campaigned for and that he wants to pursue is he's got a dam in his state that the inspectors say is getting awful weak, and if it breaks, it's going to wipe out three towns. Now, they'd have notice and wouldn't cost any lives necessarily, but they need to get this dam repaired, and it's going to cost $1.5 million. So he gets to Washington, and he says, okay, where do I submit this bill? Well, you submit it to that committee over there. So he's got a bill for $1.5 million to fix this dam, and he takes it over to committee and puts it down there. A couple, 3 weeks later, he goes back, and he says, well, where's my bill? Well, it's still in committee. Okay. A couple months later, he goes back, and he says, where's my bill? He says, well, we're going to put it as an amendment to the DREAM Act. Well, I'm not going to be voting for the DREAM Act. Well, then you're not going to be voting for your own bill. So the guy's got no choice. If he wants his bill approved, he's got to go for the DREAM Act. Now, if you all remember back in Obamacare days, what they called the Second Louisiana Purchase, where Louisiana was promised $212 million, for their vote on Obamacare, and they gave their vote on Obamacare. It's a game of buying and wielding power in Washington. And when they want votes, they'll do anything to get the votes. The Democrats will do it, the Republicans will do it. So this guy's frustrated, and he's got to either vote for the DREAM Act or give up his hopes of repairing that dam. Now what's he going to do after his 2 years is up? He's either going to learn to play the game so he can bring things back to his own state, or he's going to stick to his values, and when his two-year term's up, he's going to go back home to Iowa and say, fuck it, I can't change anything. It's not going to change. Then he might become one of us. Let's look at the second scenario. What was the second one, Randy? Refresh my memory. Let's suppose we get 10 Tea Party candidates in every 2 years, 10% of the Tea Party candidates. That means in 10 years we'll have 50%, maybe if we're lucky, 51%. That's enough to get a bill passed, unless the president vetoes it. Now, if the president vetoes it, we need 3/4, or 75%. So that adds another 3 terms or 6 years to that 10 years. So now we're looking at 16 years before we can override a veto and actually begin working back for towards the Constitution. Now we know there's a lot of undoing to the damage that Congress has done. So in 10 years, we might be able to begin undoing the damage of the past and the next 10 years. But wait, more than likely to do anything, we can't even begin undoing things for 16 years. Now just think, looking at the last 16 years, how much damage Congress can do to this country in the next 16 years. So when we finally can't override a veto, we've got to start 16 years from now, stripping off all the garbage that was put on, and it'll probably take us 16 years to get back to where we are today. And then we've got to keep going back until we get back to what the Constitution really said. Two reasons why enactment won't work. Well, a lot of people are optimistic. The third choice is we get good people in our state government. Hey, that's a great idea. Somebody throw a state name up on the chat. Give me a state name. And I'll see if I can give you an idea of why that won't work. And just a second, I need my thing open here. What? New Mexico? Okay. New Mexico it is. Okay, New Mexico. This is 2005. That's the latest figures I have so far. I'd like to get newer ones, but New Mexico is a pretty lucky state because they get $2.03 back for every $1 they give to the federal government. They're in good shape. New Mexico in 2005, through income taxes, gave the federal government $9,891,000,000. The federal government gave back to New Mexico for dam improvements and things like that $20 billion, $20,604,000,000. So, state nullification. New Mexico says, no, we're not going to go along with your mandate. Federal government says, ka-chink, we're going to pull back a couple billion out of that money we're sending you. We're not going to go along with this mandate either. A couple billion more cut out. Pretty soon, New Mexico is spending $9 billion, sending it to the federal government, almost $10 billion, and they're getting nothing back. People's money is going directly to the federal government, $10 billion, and they're getting nothing back. Now they've got to also make up the $20 billion that they lost. Now, most states right now, if they had a $20 billion hit, they would close the doors and walk away. Some suggested, well, it's easy. We get them not to send the money to the federal government. Instead, we have them send it to the state government. Great idea. Mom and pop, the grocery store, will be glad to divert $7,000 or $15,000 to the state government. But any big employer that works in interstate commerce is going to be afraid of being clamped down by the federal government, having the IRS in his door, and he will not divert the withholding tax to New Mexico. So you might get 10 or 15% of that $10 billion held within the state, say $1.5 billion, but you're still going to have $8.5 billion going to the federal government. You're going to have to make up for the $20 billion you didn't get. Do you honestly believe that states can nullify anything?
No.
That's about it. If you think that if I'm wrong on anything that I just said, please inform me. I'd like to know.
I wish you were, but you're not. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, they got the purse strings, the financial control, and that's extreme. That's such a huge incentive, and people are gonna play ball with wherever the money's coming from. You know, so we're really pretty stuck. You know, if we're trying to go down that route, because they're simply not going to give up all that money.
I turned that aspect green mail a long time ago, and there's I'm going to give you two instances. The Crime Control Act of 1994, when that came out, I was in Florida at the time. I called the local congressman asking for a copy of the bill. He sent me a book of a couple hundred pages, and I went through it and wrote an article. The subject of 1994 Crime Control Act primarily was, if you remember it, the Cops on the Street program. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of interesting because basically what it said is, you apply to us and we'll help you get another cop on the street or more if you need them. But the way it worked is we'll pay the wages 100% first year, 75% second year, 50% third year, 25% fourth year, fifth year you're on your own. But don't worry, because we'll tell you how to raise revenue by asset forfeiture. However, once you sign this contract, you are bound to the Justice Department in all these areas. So they get the freebie, then they got to start stealing our property from us to keep the freebie going, and at the same time, they're subject, they have submitted to a degree of jurisdiction to the Justice Department. That's green mail. Now, in that same act, towards the back, and the only one I recall right now, because I was in Winter Park, Florida, was way back in the back pages of that little book, there was $25,000 given to an art center in Winter Park, Florida. $25,000, not a whole lot, enough to buy a vote to get the Crime Control Act of 1994 passed. That's green mail. Another situation from Florida, I forgot what year it is, Super Bowl was in Miami. Florida people drive fast like they do in a lot of the larger states. You know, in New England you drive slow because, hey, it doesn't take but an hour to get across most of those little states up there. But you get down to Florida where it's 300 or 400 miles north-south, people drive fast. The drive 55 time, this is back when it was drive 55, Florida was about ready to lose their Federal Highway Transportation Trust Fund monies for interstate highway repairs because the average driving speed was over, and I don't remember, I think it was 68 or maybe it was even 58 or maybe even 60, but they had to, had to have average speeds below a certain amount or they lost their funding. Florida was facing losing their funding. I think there was probably a little politics involved in this because the last study, the one that keyed the whole thing, was held on Super Bowl Sunday in Miami. And traffic was probably going 35 miles on the interstate, and they got their money. But that's the kind of green mail they have. They'll withhold the funds for any reason they devise to withhold those funds. They get short of money, they'll figure out a way to screw you out, the states out of the money coming back to them. That's green mail. And that's what they've practiced, and they've bought our obedience with our money. And that's these numbers I just gave you. Virginia, $60,185,000,000 comes back to them, $1.51 on the dollar, $95,097,000,000. What would happen if Virginia lost $95 billion worth of revenue from the federal government? Close the doors, join with Maryland, what do they do? Anybody find any fault with what I've said?
No, I can't. I mean, everything you've said is 100% accurate. It's what's been happening. Oh, it's what has happened in the past. We see it's happening on a daily basis. And yet we watch. We do nothing.
So everybody believes that by voting we're going to change things. Hold up your hand. I don't see any hands.
Yeah.
Good. We're getting somewhere. The absurdity of thinking that within a system that it has had decades, perhaps a century and a half, to define a way of taking away our ability to change that system in subtle means over long periods of time is reality. They have masterfully taken it out of power. They have removed from us the ability to change things. Let's look at the political parties. You're all familiar with committees of safety, I hope. Committees of safety is rather interesting. Everybody knows a document called the Declaration of Independence. July 4th. Can't forget America's Day. How many of you realize that back then, bottom-up government was the way things worked? I can't prove it. Oh, maybe I can prove it. There were 90 declarations of independence signed by cities, counties, and colonies before Jefferson put pen to paper. 90 of them. That means that Jefferson didn't create the Declaration of Independence, nor did his committee. What they did is they took these 90 documents and said, this is a good idea. Let's do what the people want. Now, there's a Committee of Safety group out there, committeeofsafety.org. Don't write that down. Don't go there. This guy believes the Committee of Safety is a political party, and they will dictate what you should believe. Back to the Declaration of Independence, that those people in Philadelphia began to believe what the people down in the towns believed. That's top-up government, not top-down, or bottom-up government, not top-down government. We have top-down government now. Red Beckman, a well-known patriot back in the 90s, I don't even know if Red's still around, he and his wife Arlene were down and brought him down to Winter Springs, Florida, wants to speak to some patriots, and we had a nice crowd. But one of the things that Red used to, I don't know if he developed it, but an analogy he used for government that I really like is this. You look, take a pyramid, and you put the president at the top, and below that you put the Congress, and then below that you put the state government. He forgot administrative agencies, but I'll put them in there. Administrative agencies, then state government, then state administrative agencies, local politicians, and way down at the bottom of the pyramid is us, the people. That's what we've been taught at school. That's what we've been led to believe the government is like. We have made at the top of the pinnacle. Reb said, let's take that pyramid and put it upside down,
point down.
No, here's the people on top. They feed, they feed to the
terrible thing, you know, about the greatest of safety and things like that, and the top down versus the bottom up. You know, I hate to say anything bad or, you know, anything bad about a fellow patriot out there or anybody who's trying to promote ideas and solutions. But there's another person out there, another group of people out there that are promoting the committees of safety, Dr. Edwin Vieira and them, PhD from Harvard Law School.
You're back.
Let me finish up with what I was saying.
Okay.
You know, as Gary was pointing out, the committees of safety were a bottom-up organization. The county committees answered to the local committees of safety. The state answered to the county. The Continental Congress answered to the state committees. So that was the chain of command. These committees of safety that Dr. Edwin Vieira are promoting, they answer to all the state committees. Answer to the top committee. They're run by a national organization, top down again. It's become a money scheme. I mean, you know, each state committee is supposed to send up money to the national group. That's not how they worked. That's not how it happened. That's not the way it was. That's not how they are. You know, so we really have to define what, you know, we really have to look at the organizations that we're talking about and really study them. And unfortunately, we got to read again, people. If it's, you know, YouTube never replaced the book. It never replaced the written word. If you don't exercise your brain will stop being able to work and to think. You'll no longer be able to think, which is the problem most of us have now. Remember, for anything to work, for freedom to exist, it has to be a bottom-up organization. Everything comes from the bottom, individually, you and me.
Okay, I'm back with you. I managed to reconnect myself. The bandwidth I got here is, problematic. But like I had, you know, said earlier in the show, I think we'll be able to correct that.
So anyway, we'll go back to the pyramid now. Randy's right, and what I was talking about is just that. We need bottom-up politics in this country. So Red took this pyramid and turned it upside down and said, here, we're the people on the top of this. Then comes our local government. Then comes our state government. Then comes the national government. And the administrative agencies shouldn't even be in the picture. And then comes the president. The president, think about it. We all pay his salary. He works for us. He doesn't pay us to be slaves. We pay him to administer the country, not to run the country, but to administer the country. And that's where we've missed it. Now, I ran across a book, Elements of Civil Government, published in 1891, 119 years ago. And it talks about government is just that way. The government most important to you is the family. Then the church, then the school. The school was separate from other governments back then, too, by the way. It wasn't run by the federal government. Then comes the city government, then the county government, then the state government. And each one is further away and less remote to what controls your daily life. And then finally you get up to the president. And so it presented government in a proper manner. But by the time I got to school in the 50s, they started teaching, here's the president up here, here's the Congress. A bill is a bill, it's only a bill. All that stuff that we were taught back then was wrong. They should be obeying our wishes. We can look at history and see even more recently in the 1930s, Prohibition, the 18th Amendment, outlawed alcohol. It took a constitutional amendment to outlaw alcohol, and you could buy cocaine and marijuana at the local drugstore. After a few years and juries saying, we're not going to convict these people for having alcohol, the Congress caught up with the people again and repealed Prohibition. So even back in the 30s, the concept of bottom-up government still existed. But we've lost that now. It's gone completely. We wouldn't even think of that. We have allowed administrative agencies to say that you can't buy marijuana or get cocaine because you've got to go through a doctor, and he's got to be approved by the federal government, and if he screws up, we're going to take his license away. It's stupid. We live in a free country, and I have to go to Mexico or Canada to get, say, Darvon. I need a prescription for Darvon. It's a good painkiller. The Army used to use it. But I've got to go to another country or a doctor. Why do I have to go to a doctor? It used to be sold over the counter. We've lost everything, and we need it back. Now, the plan, if you take the time, it's unfortunate in this day and age that we have to read anything. It's not on YouTube. There's not a video about it. But if you take the time to read the plan, I think that you might see a way that we can get our government back. But until we do, we're going downhill.
I agree. Something else to think about. We had brought this, we had stressed this point many, 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 many times on these shows. There's another aspect to the committees of safety as well. I don't spend a lot of time in conspiracy theories and, things like that, but I do look at the what if. We've talked about the peak oil crisis, economic collapse, yada, yada, yada. If any of these things ever do happen, chaos will ensue. We saw it with Katrina. We've seen it time and time again. With the committees of safety, those areas that have a well-developed committee of safety and the militia that subordinate to the civil authority, a lot of that chaos could be alleviated if not deterred completely. Because the civil authority would exist. People have been prepping and planning for disasters already, so then we could start alleviating the suffering immediately. We can continue to keep transportation going. We can keep the hospitals open. We can keep the courts going, the police working and running. We can keep food coming in. This is what the Founding Fathers did with the Committees of Safety. This is why they worked. And also, if for no other reasons, in preparation for a bad thing to happen. Not that we're already not in a bad time. I mean, look around. But the purpose of the Committees of Safety were multifaceted. I mean, it's not just to restore freedom, but also in order to protect us during those times of chaos and anarchy, where there's problems and there's no food. There's no water, there's no transportation, there's no hospitals, no medicine. Something to think about. Anyone?
I'm typing right now. So, Dave, pick it up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is a one solution that has been historically proven to work. It's why we have a United States. This is how this country came to be. That's why it's important to get back to the foundation of the tools that the framers used to build this nation in the first place. If we keep those tools firmly in the hands of we the people in a bottom-up fashion, we can restore what was lost, and we can keep what was lost once we restore it and keep this from ever happening again. We can't ever let another scenario happen where they turn this pyramid upside down on us again. We have to be vigilant from here on out. This is going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort, but we certainly do have a clear, concise plan for doing it. And if you haven't checked it out, I would highly recommend reading into it. There's a lot of people out there talking about a lot of solutions, but there's no real cogent plans out there aside from this one. And this is the one that's historically proven to work. We don't really have a lot more time to screw around. The best time to get started on this would have been 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Good man. Good man.
We got some good learners here. Randy blew that one once, but you got it right, Dave.
Well, you know what? I want to remind people of a little bit of history that we fail to remember. And this comes from Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago. And in there was a footnote where they were talking about the new socialist you know, military force that was coming in, and they were going around and arresting people day and night, left and right, for anything and everything. Innocent people. It didn't matter. And he had said, you know, when they came and they arrested 25% of the people in Leningrad, a major city, he said, what if we had said no? What if when they came in the night or in the day, we had stood in the alley, in the hallways with hammers, pokers, whatever you have available, and we stopped them? What if they were afraid that they might not go home again? How much different would things have been? Now, I don't know if we're at that point yet, but I know that that point could come eventually. I mean, tyranny has arisen in every country ever. You know, and I had Joseph P. Martino on this show, who has an incredible background in history in this, counterinsurgency and insurgency. He was a retired colonel, wrote a book, Resistance to Tyranny. I promote that book heavily. Every militia member, every committee of safety should have this book, several copies. You know, he said that the time to start thinking about resisting tyranny is not when tyranny has risen its head, because that's already too late. You need to do it beforehand. You need to have plans implemented. You need to have your ideas and your infrastructure set up and ready to go, just in case. You hope you never have to use it, but you know it's always there just in case.
It's preparation, preparation, preparation. You know, just like in the home invasion scenario, you know, having your country usurped, it's the same thing. You know, we have to prepare and have the tools ready when we actually need them, you know, not after the fact. If we're scrambling around after the fact, we're going to be in a world of hurt. And we have a lot of catching up to do. You know, there's still time, there's still hope. If we get busy and we start working together and getting these committees up and running and getting moving on this plan.
Well, you know, the moving on the plan thing, you know, I mean, hey, it's out there, it's there. I've got posts all over the place. I mean, if you haven't been to RAM yet, go to RAM, Well Regulated American Militia. Go to my page, Randy Mack, or Randy Mack, whichever one it is.
The group you have.
Look at my blog. Look at my blogs, or go to the Gary Hunt Outpost of Freedom group there. We got an entire page set up there, an entire group set up there talking about the plan, all the information relating to it, tons of essays and writings by Gary that go into all of these issues and problems. There's the plan light that is out now. The fully written version is not out yet, but Gary's working on that. You know, but in the meantime, you've got hours and hours and days worth of reading and contemplation to keep you busy there. You know, just with the light and all the other links that we have. If you want information on it, hit me up. Contact me, randymack@uftreadme.com. I'll be more than happy to shoot you all the links, all the info. If you're listening to this on archive, please. You know, if you're interested in finding out the only constitutional solution that I've seen out there, you know, get with me. Randymack@uftreadme.com. I'll point you in the direction of all the writings and the information. We'll get you set up and start thinking about it. You know, there's other people out there that are doing stuff, you know, they're talking about de jure grand juries and this and that, and, you know, unfortunately, they just haven't read enough to understand anything. They are sadly misguided and delusional. One guy has actually claimed himself president now, because he was voted in. And the only way you could vote for him, though, was to be a member of his group. Now, show me in the Constitution where that's even legal. The laws for an election of a president are very clear and concise. So just by him doing that, that's called a coup d'etat. That's called a takeover. We're not looking for takeover. We're looking for restoration of what was. We're not trying to change it. I'm trying to go back to what was. So, you know, you got to be really careful out there. You got a bunch of crazy people that just come up with these ideas off the top of their heads, and they always seem to be ideas that put them as lifelong leaders, like the guardians of the republic or self-proclaimed presidents. So be smart, people. You know, look around, but I'm telling you, if you're looking for solution out there, there's the founding fathers and the blueprint they left. That's it.
Remember, remember, he's also charging for citizenship. You have to buy your citizenship in his republic. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Can we say scam, ladies and gentlemen?
So, yeah, you know, hey, can we say another money grab here? Who the hell is he to sell you a to sell you your own citizenship, something he doesn't have the right to grant? Citizenship is not his to give. It was yours by birth. You don't have to pay for it. It's yours. Take it. But he wants you to pay for it, to fund him. And for some reason, these militia, there's several militia out there that I've heard of. You know, they scream Constitution, they scream Bill of Rights, they scream Declaration of Independence, and they scream about our founding fathers. And yet they run and flock to this man like he's a new Messiah. I guess they didn't read the Constitution, or they didn't understand it as well as they thought they did.
I guess not. Because what that is flies in the face of everything that we're trying to do. You know, that's not going to fix anything. You know, that's just a different flavor of bad. I know we'll end up in a much worse situation with that. Oh, a lifetime dictator. Yeah, okay, that's great. No, it's bottom up, guys. Bottom up. That's the only way this is going to work, is bottom up. We restore the power to the people. This is a government that's supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. It's time for you people to get involved. We can't do this by ourselves. If we could, we'd already done it a long time ago, and we'd be sipping margaritas on the beach celebrating our victory. It's going to take, you know, a lot of us working together from the ground up to affect the solutions that we're talking about. And it isn't a revolution. It's a restoration. We just want our freedom. We want our country back. We want what the framers had intended. They're rolling around in their graves knowing what we're dealing with right now and shaking their heads at all of us. How did you people let this happen?
You know, Quizno in the chat room, for those who are listening to the archive later or those who don't know, you can join our chat room at youhavetreadonme.com. Or for right now, for the next year or two, it's at endtheparty.org/YHTOM. But he made a good point there. We need activism. The words are coming to a close. And you are very true, Quizno, and that is the point of the plan. The plan does not talk about continuous debate and, you know, discussion. It talks about action. The action our founding fathers promoted, the action that they engaged in. Not just military action, but all the other action before that, the required action before that. See, we haven't even begun to engage in their plan yet, the only lawful plan for the restoration of the Constitution and our country. Yes, we protested, we complained, but we haven't even begun to engage in the only plan they left us, the only lawful plan. And it's a multi-step plan with a few different infrastructures needed. And we entailed that in time for our plan. So, you know, anybody else out there, you know, that have come up with these plans, you know, I've yet to find one that is constitutional, and I've yet to see one that doesn't create some kind of a dictatorship or somebody who just proclaims themselves leader.
So, you know, talking about the Declaration of Independence, too, if you read on my blog, The End of the Revolution, Beginning of Independence, Worcester County, Massachusetts in 1774, I believe it was in September, declared their independence from Great Britain. They severed their ties. Now, to give you an idea of some of these 90 that I mentioned, Buckingham County, Virginia, May 13, 1776, published by order of the committee. Charles District, South Carolina, May 20, 1776, published by the Committee of Safety. Charles County, Maryland, June 1776, published by the Committee of Safety. Natick, Massachusetts, June 20, 1776. 76. Topsfield, Massachusetts, June 21st, 1776. July 1st, 1776, Ashby, Massachusetts. That begins to give you an idea Those are just the ones that I have a copy of in front of me. But give you an idea that this was bottom up. Jefferson didn't have a novel idea. He just had a good pen, and he wrote a fine document. It's one of my favorite. It is the birth of this country, and should be. So keep in mind, bottom up. The next president of the United States might be sitting next to you the next time you go to a committee of safety meeting. If he is deserving, he will be pushed up to the top rather than dangled in front of you like a turd on a string by the Republican or Democratic Party. For those that don't get that, we've all heard the lesser of two evils. That doesn't seem to impress people, so we look at it a little differently. The Republicans dangle a turd on the string, and the Democrats dangle a turd on the string, and you vote on which turd you want. When you're done, what do you get? The turd. That's reality. That's a little harsher than lesser of evils, but it's reality.
And we really need to embrace the reality and understand the situation we're in. You know, otherwise, you know, with any delusions about, you know, being able to fix this through their broken system, we're just going to get lost. We've really got to start taking things a little bit more seriously, because we really are in a world of hurt here. You know, the whole system has been rigged on us very, very badly, and it doesn't really matter who you stick in the office. The same agendas keep moving forward. All we got to do is just look at where we've been and look at where we're going. It's pretty damned obvious.
Well, you know, one of the one angry brother in the chat room had just brought it up. You know, it's active participation, and unfortunately, you know, corrupted power does not people who've been corrupted and have power do not just hand over that power. You know, we're not promoting a violent revolution by any means whatsoever. We're promoting enforcing our freedom and our will upon those representatives whose duty it is to represent us and uphold the Constitution. Their only job was to ensure our freedoms were never trampled upon. That's it. Never to legislate and things like that over us and take away our freedom. Now, the point of the COS and the militia is not to engage upon violent revolution, but to ensure that any action that is taken will be as painless as possible. Now, how bad it's going to be is going to be up to the government to determine that alone. It's their choice. We will just respond to whatever needs to be done. You know, I would love for this to be done, you know, apologies and handshakes. And people stepping down. And nary a shot fired. That is my
goal. We all want that. I think we all want
that. But that's not a reality. That's
not
a reality. No dictator has ever been voted out of office. Remember that.
Well, can you think of a way that minimizes the amount of shots fired?
Yes, I can.
What would that be, Mandy?
A strong show of force and a strong show of organization, committees of safety and militia.
The plan.
Well-organized militia, well-organized committees of safety.
Exactly, the plan.
Perhaps the plan.
In other words, the plan.
Right.
You know, all these talk shows and everything out there, you know, they talk about problems and problems and problems, but nobody ever talks about solutions. And the few that aren't talking about a solution or a plan, well, that plan always has them placing themselves as leader. Whether they're elected or unelected doesn't matter. Most of the time, they place themselves as a lifelong leader. You get no chance to ever vote them out again. That's not what we're promoting here. We're promoting exactly what the Founding Fathers envisioned and entailed. And what they laid down for us. That's it. Where it goes, each county, each city, each township is responsible for their own. You determine what's right and what's proper for your area. That's the way it should be. So, you know, there's no heroes here, though. You know, somebody said I was a hero. I want to reiterate. No. Gary, no. We're presenting information. The heroes are going to be the people that go out there and take this information out there and start acting upon it. Because like Quiznos said, the time for words is at an end. It takes action now. So the heroes are the ones that take this information out there and start implementing it. Because you're the ones who are going to create that change. You're the leaders that your communities are looking for. Make it happen. You know, Magic said that the only way we're going to get any remedy is when a shitload of us show up with guns prepared to use them. We should be there already. We should already have a shitload of guns and be prepared to use them. That's what the Second Amendment was all about. But the question is, man, is do, you know, if you look at any time people rise up with guns, it's called a rebellion. They have no plan, just a bunch of people with guns. Those never work. In fact, the only time in history that any kind of armed uprising has ever worked and set a nation free was ours. In 1776 when we started our revolution. And that was a revolution, not a rebellion. It was an armed uprising with a plan. There was an infrastructure set up to handle government aspects, the committees of safety. We didn't deal with the problems that France did during their revolution because they had no plan. They didn't have a civil authority. They still had the same warmongers and powermongers they did before. So, yes, Magic, you're right in a sense. But those guns without an action plan, without achievable goals, without benchmarks, without an infrastructure is, well, that's just suicide. And I'm not about suicide. I'm not about becoming a martyr for anything. I am down for working a plan.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll bring an interesting tidbit in here, too. The same lady that wrote the book, American Scripture, which been for me of the 90 Declarations of Independence, wrote another book that I've in the process of reading right now, and it's rather intriguing. It's called Ratification, and it deals with the state conventions that ratified the Constitution. And Massachusetts was the first state to request amendments, but there was a question, should the amendments come before or after the acceptance of the Constitution? Well, overwhelmingly, they felt that they were in violation of what they were asked to do if they put it before, so they attached provisions on their ratification, not conditions, but provisions requesting that the first Congress deal with Bills of Rights. And the Bills of Rights, so from what I've read so far, you have as little as 7 or as many as 47 submitted by the various states. One I find interesting that never got into the 13 that were submitted to the people by the Congress, but came up in so far in Virginia, Massachusetts, and New York was, and New Hampshire was, that there shall be no direct taxes. Now, I wrote an article, Thoughts on Taxation as Part of the Plan, before I read this book. But what he suggested was the states be requisitioned first because they were afraid that if the government came directly to the people, they would be losing that buffer that they had just fought to remove from Parliament. And so they were insistent that the states be given first opportunity. For whatever reason, whether it will be explained in the book or not, I don't know, that Congress decided not to submit that along with the 13 others to the people to be adopted as a Bill of Rights is beyond me. But remember those numbers I gave you earlier, the billions of dollars? Imagine if that went through the state instead of through the federal government. We wouldn't have that problem.
No.
Now, the amendment process of the amendment process of the Constitution is to correct the errors in the Constitution. They even the people, the full Federalists, most of them recognize that amendments would not be bad, but they should come after ratification. They might have been saying that just to get people to ratify it, but some of them apparently gave some pretty substantial speeches about things that they felt were weak, but they felt that the ratification needed to come first. But the whole idea of the ratification process was to correct those errors. Now, the plan talks about correcting some of those errors. In fact, the article on Thoughts on Taxation mimics what I read in this book, that it should go through the states first and give them the opportunity to raise revenue, because then you've got a state between you and the federal government, and the state local people are more susceptible to your voting them out of office. So you have that buffer saying, no, federal government, you're asking for too much money. We're not going to go down and ask our people to empty their wallets in your pocket. And then you have the Senate, and you get rid of the 17th Amendment, where you've got the Senate acting in the same capacity, because the state legislatures will tell the senators, if you want to go back next term, you better vote down that money bill. So there's a means by going back to the Constitution, repeal the 17th Amendment, and bring up an amendment that would modeled on what these guys wrote back then, that would change the funding source and not give the federal government a free hand into our pocket. We would take all that green mail power away from them, and that green mail power is the one that allows people to be busted for buying medical marijuana, even though the Republican form of government in the state said they can buy medical marijuana. It's the one that says you got to drive 55 because the federal government says so, when the states like Nevada and Montana used to let you drive as fast as you felt was prudent, in the daytime at least. That gives just back to us a lot of power if we take away the source of their power, which is our dollars. So all we have to do is get to that point, and the people in power will not take away their ability to distribute money. So the only way to do that is to go back and replace that government with one consistent with the Constitution. And when I say replace it, I don't mean vote them out. I mean displace them. Start over. Set people up. From the bottom to the top. And if you read the plan, or if you recall hearing about it, there are advisory councils both on the state level and a constitutional compliance council on the federal level that will exist anywhere from 5 to 10 years, depending on the need, to help the government. They can't legislate, but they have to approve any bill that goes to the state legislature or the federal legislature, and these would be constitutional experts to make sure that there's compliance, so that the legislators, both federal and state, get used to the idea of, let's look at the Constitution. Do we have a right to do that? But that's the kind of change we need. Alternatives to that won't work. We'll end up with us being absolute slaves to government if we allow the existing system to continue. And in fact, you know, as some people suggest, and might well be true, when Obamacare gets in full swing, they might say, hey, Gary, you're over 65. We'll treat a common cold, but anything beyond that, tough shit. We don't know where they're going with this thing and what the potential is.
We do know where they're going with it, because they said the minimal health care. That's going to mean you get the bare basics.
And they could go far beyond that, too.
Well, who
decides? That's what I mean by don't know.
Bare basics? You know, you might get you out and call them in the morning for a heart attack.
Right now, it's that bad. But what if they get financially strapped? It could get worse.
Be very worse.
They might lower the age that they're you go to minimal care. Except for congressmen. Don't forget, they have a different program.
We're looking at the Logan's Run scenario.
Well, it's approaching that, and I never thought it would be, but I think Obamacare creates the foundation for whatever they want. If they want to reduce population, they drop the age to 35. So, I don't know where we're going from here, unless we decide what we need is a few brave young souls to reap part one of the plan. Spend a month or two picking a target, making a plan, because the idea is to be able to do it again. Separate your locations, separate your time intervals, and carry out the plan.
And again, you know, it comes down to people getting off their butts, you know. And I'm sure the people listening here, you know, there's people out there that are doing stuff, you know. But we need to start getting off our butts and working towards a common goal. Right now, we're kind of headless chickens out there running around in 10,000 different directions, fighting 10,000 different causes and not getting anywhere, because we keep focusing on symptoms of the problem and never the problem. You know, we have no plan because we've forgotten our history. Because it hasn't been taught to us. It's been hidden from us. In fact, you know, Gary and I, you know, I had a conversation with Gary one night, and we talked about this on the air. I pulled up three different encyclopedias so far. The first one I pulled up was an international encyclopedia that I have here, Encyclopedia International. there was no reference to the committees of safety except for the French ones, which were not like our committees of safety at all. Nothing except nothing in common except the name. And those were public
committees
of safety.
Committees of public safety, and Vieira's plan is modeled after that, where the one person is in charge.
And we've seen
exactly.
How that doesn't work.
It was top down again. You know, we saw the head rolling, and the blood and the blood that ran in the streets during their revolution. So, you know, we need to get off our butts, though, and we need to actually start working on a plan. Again, you know, if we fail the plan, we're planning to fail. So, you know, for those of you out there who have the eyes to see and the brain to think, to see beyond rhetoric and to see beyond, you know, speeches and pretty websites to talk about that twist the words of the Constitution, the meaning of the Founding Fathers, and you'd really like to get back to what the Founding Fathers said, then I encourage everybody to, you know, check out what we put out there on the Time for a Plan series. You can find the archives right there on Blog Talk on the Blog Talk player. If you press that orange RSS button, you can find all of the archives there. I've done 11 shows plus the shows that I've done with Joseph P. Martino.
Martino.
The author of Resistance to Tyranny. Again, I promote that book heavily to every single militia member out there and every single committee of safety. I have no financial stake in promoting his book whatsoever. I'm promoting it because that book is a must.
It is, and everybody of any position of authority in any committee of safety in any militia, any officer, any non-commissioned officer in the militia, any committee head or very active person in committees of safety should read Resistance to Tyranny. It is absolutely necessary to help you to understand what you think you understand already. It goes further than your thought process has gone in so many areas, and will open up a world of how to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
We've got our work cut out for us, and we've got a long road ahead, but we can absolutely do this. You know, history has proven it. It's just time for us to start working together, you know, get rid of these divisive paradigms, you know, these, you know, petty symptoms and issues that, you know, really in themselves don't make any difference at all. We've got to start working together for a common goal. We can restore our republic, but only if we work together and only if we're going in the same direction.
So find the direction. The map is in the plan. Now, when you read the plan, you know, it lays out something creative that would work. It'll need modification along the way as you go. Well, this won't work, or I've got to put this ahead of that. But there's a lot of pieces there. There's more to be added. There's adjustments to be made. But it's a guideline. And let's go back 230-some years. Nobody wanted to go to war with England. It's very apparent. I've put, on my blog, you'll find Lucy Hosmer's diary, which is rather interesting because her husband was he was willing to fight the British, but her diary, the entries from her diary and the dialogue written with it by Nord Davis Jr., April 18th and April 19th, 1775, the day before and the day after. I have another letter that Nord gave me, and I'm trying to find it. But this was the other letter was a guy that did not think that under any circumstances he would take up arms against his government, the British government. And he did. Now, the plan looks at our history and realizes the same thing. At some point in time, those that were opposed to taking arms against Britain but were appalled by the way the government was treating the people, in one day changed their minds. When reality hit that something is happening, I have no choice now, which side am I on? In that one day, just from one day to the next, people changed. The thought was back there, the thought was reprehensible to them. But by the next day, when the ball started rolling, they had no qualms at that point about picking up arms against their government. Now, that was taken into consideration in writing the plan. If you read the plan, the abbreviated version doesn't go into detail, but there are 10 parts. It gives you an objective of the part, and then it gives you the historical perspective that supports that part. The roadmap was laid out by the founders, and all we're doing is adjusting it to the modern playing field. It has to be adjusted, because we're on a different playing field. Back then, you could own a cannon. Nowadays, it'll get you free room and board. Back then, there weren't police walking down the street, so you could pick up your arms and march anywhere in Massachusetts. Today, if you picked up your arms and marched somewhere, you'd probably get arrested by the standing army. Now, some people don't believe that the police department's a standing army. There's an article on the blog as well. It's called Are Cops Constitutional? I thought I knew a little bit about the history of police departments in this country, but when I read Are Cops Constitutional, I realized how wrong I was. Now, he did agree with what I felt all along, that the police department is a standing army, and he supports that. But he goes way beyond that. We should not have police in this country. We have what they considered a soldier in every house that Barry Henry talked about, because you can't walk down the street without passing a cop. You're on constant surveillance by cameras. The playing field has changed. We got to deal with that playing field. We are following the map that was given to us along with this wonderful country we have.
Hear, hear. You're absolutely right.
I'm posting your website here, Gary. He was asking for it.
Beat you to it.
Oh, there you go. My fingers aren't working quite as fast as they normally do. It's kind of cold up here. My fingers are stiff today. No, you're right, Gary. It's, those that don't see it now, hopefully will see it soon. And when they do realize that something is wrong, we should have the organizations and the infrastructure already set up for them to transition into easily. Give them an option besides going to the government and saying, protect me and feed me.
Yeah, some people have asked me, give me in a sentence or two what the plan's all about. Well, that's impossible. It's long. What you can read on, if you go to the blog and read the abbreviated version, you're reading half the plan. The detail's missing. But I have figured out how to present it in simple terms. Let's take a map of the United States and paint it all black. But then all of a sudden we get these little white dots showing up all over the country. And those dots keep growing, and eventually they begin merging. And then they keep growing, and then they begin merging again. Then they grow some more and merge again, and pretty soon a state is mostly white. It's got large populations, San Francisco, Sacramento, maybe not Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego are still black, but the rest of California is white. And then I'm working right now on what to do in the large population areas where it will be difficult and it will be incorporated in the final plan. But at that point, California has become a constitutional state again. What happens in California? Let's see. All the laws go back and the Constitution go back to July 4th, 1860, before the Civil War. Strip off all the garbage. It's a lot easier to build up the good, add the good back on from 1860, than it is to try and strip the bad off from now.
Damn, sorry.
So that's the general concept of the plan. That the white dots grow and grow and grow and incorporate larger areas. When you get enough states, you establish a federal level. And the white just keeps growing and growing. And if there's some pockets of black down there, hey, bypass them. You got to protect yourself, and that's what the dealing with large population areas is about. You can't have the enemy come in on your flank or at your rear. So they have to be dealt with. But there's a way to deal with them. And as far as food and ammo, understand that in the plan, there's provision early on. How do we keep the food flowing? How do we keep water, electricity, communication, supplies flowing? There's a provision in there for the plan at one point. when each of those white dots gets large enough, it makes sure within its area that is that the food production continues, that everything continues. No food is exported. All the food will stay in this country to make sure that everybody in this country eats. So all this is taken into consideration in the plan so that we have the least disruption, which pretty much happened 230 years ago. Least disruption possible. There will be major conflicts, Charleston, New York, Boston, Philadelphia. Those things will happen. But for the most part, except in the South where actually they didn't take sides, they took opposition and fought their traditional enemies. But for the most part in the North, from Virginia on up, there was a smooth transition of government. Sometimes it shifted back and forth like in New Jersey, but for the most part, that smooth transition of government, those white dots kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and finally took over the whole state. So intrusion back in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, in Germantown, but eventually the white took over all of Pennsylvania. Same thing in New York. You know, they got pushed. It was white on Long Island, New York, and then the black came in and pushed them off of Long Island, pushed them all the way back, but then they came back eventually and made white where the black was. And it's the same scenario that we're looking at today, only by the means available to us to achieve exactly what they did, and we're pursuing the document that they pursued indirectly. They didn't know where they were going. It ended up in the Constitution. We know where we're going. It's going to end up in the Constitution with amendments to correct the evils that exist in it. Yeah, farmers' markets are great. They should be encouraged. They should be absolutely free for money to flow. I mean, farmers' markets are diminishing, disappearing at a rapid rate. In fact, I think they're disappearing faster than old Sambo's restaurants. But farmers' markets, you know, when you have a local farm, you'll have a place where you don't have to go through government inspectors to sell your food. You don't have to get permission from the government to do this or that. You go out and sell your food, and people buy your food, and everybody's fed up and happy.
You know, you mentioned that point about, you know, local merchants, local farm, local farmers and the farmers' markets and stuff. You know, that is vital. Again, money that you spend in your community or barter that you engage in your community, everything stays in your community. Right now you go to Walmart and you spend your $50 there that the average person spends, going in to spend $10, they walk out $50 later. That money you put in your community, you know, you spend it there locally, but that 90% of that money leaves your community and hits an international bank somewhere, and it never sees your community again. Whereas in the past, local people used to raise their families and put their kids through school, spending money in that community, redistributing that money in the community, keeping that community alive. That's what we need to get back to.
That's the starting point. Everything that's in the white area, you support 100%. When you take over Kellogg's cereal company, you just make sure that they keep pumping cereal out. When you hit a bread company, you make sure they keep pumping out bread so that people can eat. The lines of production, the lines of transportation have to be maintained open and become primary in this whole scenario. It's our job to keep the people fed because we are the government and our obligation is to the people, so to speak. Not the same Tim Turner government we're talking about. We're just working from the top back up again so that we can establish somebody to carry out our will as President of the United States, not dictate to us what we should do.
Absolutely.
Come on, Dave. Throw something in.
Bottom up. It's all about bottom up, and that's exactly what will happen when this is done right. You know, the right people, you know, for the job will percolate their way up to the top, and they will be serving the will of the people. And when they're not, we'll have an infrastructure in place to, you know, yank them out and replace them with somebody that will. You know, it's important that we maintain civil authority in the hands of we the people. And this is what this is all about, is inverting that pyramid back over, you know, where the president's at the bottom, you know, where we the people are at the top. That's what the framers intended. That's the nation we live in. That's how it was founded. And you know, that's how it was written in the Constitution, that is the lawful way of doing things, the constitutional way of doing things. And that's what we're trying to get back to.
Well, you know, if you look at any top down organization throughout the history of the world, you will find that even if it starts off small, take our federal government, for instance, it started off very small with very limited power. Now, it has a $1 trillion budget. They have decided that they are no longer, that the laws that they make for us no longer apply to them. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Look at Russia, Germany, Italy. Look at any socialist government that has ever risen. Look at any totalitarian dictatorship. They always have massive bureaucracies that do nothing but crush the people. Crush your will, crush your empathy. They crush everything, and they take and take and take till you have nothing left to give. Right now, we sit at, for the first time in the history of the U.S., we have 60% of the American people sitting on some kind of government check, whether it's a paycheck because they're a government employee or welfare or something else. They are living on the government, on a government paycheck. That means 40% of the people are supporting 60% of the people out there and still supporting their own families. That is what happens to top-down organizations and any other top-down structure that, you know, where the people are trying to bring about change, but they got to be in charge.
Yep, exactly. I don't want to be in charge of anything more than you or Gary or any other person out there. Just as a normal, you know, Joe citizen, you know, and having my opinion matter again. I don't want the responsibility of, you know, trying to run everything. You know, I don't want the authority of telling everybody what to do. That's not how this is supposed to work. You know, the Tim Turners of the world have got this all backwards. And it's a very dangerous thing that, you know, people are buying into that. You know, this is exactly what we have now. It's not going to fix the problem. It won't change or it'll be worse. We've really got to be careful. We've really got to get back to the bottom-up method of thinking. It's crucial if we're to move forward. Otherwise, things are going to keep getting worse.
People forget that, you know, when the Continental Congress and the Constitutional Convention formed, they think that these were just, you know, some big organization or some national organization that, you know, was top down. You know, they forget that the only reason that the Constitutional Convention and the Continental Congress even existed, that first off, we forget that just because they had the name Continental Congress and Constitutional Convention, they were national COSs. They were the delegates from the state committees of safety that were sent up. And they had to abide by whatever their state committee of safety told them to do. You know, and anymore, it's not that way anymore. We're told now what to do because we don't think for ourselves, and we look for these leaders out there, people to tell us what to do. Unfortunately, that's not freedom. Freedom is you looking around and saying, this is what needs to be done. This is right, this is wrong, this is what is lawful, and this is what I'm willing to do. And then find where you fit in and you enact upon your abilities and your skill sets. You know, if you're going to keep waiting around for a leader, then, you know, you're going to keep waiting because that leader is you. Everybody's waiting for you to step forward. To bring about something that will enact change. Real change, not that Obama change, but real change. And we lay out our change, what that change is going to look like. Unlike Obama, when you talked about, you know, change, you know, yes, we can, and change you can believe in, he'd never tell you what kind of change. Well, we've got change. We've got lots of change. And it only benefits a few people. So, what are you going to do? You know, I'm not looking for an answer to that question. You know, that. Go ask yourself that in the mirror. What are you going to do? You as the individual, what are you going to do? You know, the longer you keep looking for leaders and the longer you keep waiting for a leader to pop up, all that's going to happen is that you remain that follower. We got enough followers right now. We got enough We have enough people that don't think for themselves and don't learn and don't study and don't read. We've got enough followers. What we need is people. What we need is individuals again. Responsible individuals who are willing to stand up and for their own freedom and say, enough, I've had it, no more.
Yeah, it'll be the guy that sits next to you in the committee meeting that listens to everybody and reasons well when he talks. And you'll push him up and up and up. Now, remember, the first, second, and third Continental Congresses were all called by committees of safety. They didn't, we're going to come back next year. They were sent back up next year by the Committee of Safety. They didn't do it the third one. They were sent back up by the Committees of Safety for the Declaration of Independence. And after that point, when the Continental Congress was created by those delegates who had come up from the Committee of Safety, they were acting in the capacity of representatives of the Committees of Safety and established the first Continental Congress. So that's bottom up. Everything back then was bottom up. If I went into detail on this book on ratification, it talks about how the delegates were selected. And they were just laymen from the country. Some states would not even let an existing, somebody currently employed by government or elected into office by government, even go to the constitutional ratification conventions. This was farmers. They went up to the convention and decided to ratify the Constitution. It wasn't, as some people suggest, the elites. For the most part, in most states, the elites were excluded from it unless they were not holding a public office and if they were popular enough to get voted in as delegates. But the votes for delegates were done by the delegate's name. It wasn't Republican Party or Democratic Party. The names were put out. For example, reading about New York, the newspapers were publishing potential delegates. So the list was published in the newspaper, and then you went and voted for the one that you wanted. And then he went up. Whoever got the most votes went up. So it was representative of people. Sometimes they went with instructions, sometimes not. But they went up with what they had expressed their beliefs were and were selected on that basis. That's bottom-up politics. That's not some guy saying, read my lips, no new taxes, raising taxes within a month. That's somebody going up and said, my people don't want me to raise taxes, so I'm not going to support anything that raises taxes. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to
work. We've got
to
make it work.
We don't enforce that anymore. We don't hold them to their promises. You know, any other industry in the world, if I tell you one thing and then I give you something else, that's called fraud.
Yep. Pure and simple.
You know, if you tell me that you're gonna do this, this, and this, and you won't do this, this, and this, and then you renege on that, and you do nothing that you said you're going to do, and everything that you said you weren't going to do, that's fraud. You got into that office through fraudulent lies. But they're not accountable.
The moment he deviates from that promise, he fails to represent you anymore. The problem is there's nothing that holds people in Congress accountable. The House of Representatives are the only people that can punish people in the House of Representatives. The Senate are the only people that can punish people in the Senate. That leaves us out of the picture altogether, because if they're just like cops, I've always said there's no such thing as a good cop, because if there's a good cop and he sees a bad cop do something and doesn't arrest him and turn him in, then he's a bad cop too, simply by ignoring the bad cop breaking the law. By the same token, in Congress, there's no such thing as a good politician, because they allow the bad politicians to exist without raising a stink about it and doing something about it. So, again, back to the amendments that we need. If there were some method of the people holding their representatives accountable for the promises they made, and if it was fraud, then punish it as fraud. It should be punished as fraud. It is a crime if I do it. It's a crime if you do it. It's not a crime if they do it. There's something wrong with this picture. So an amendment that would somehow require accountability, perhaps they would have to list their promises and publish them and sign that under oath. And if they violate that oath, give them the choice of what promises they want to make. Don't force them. But if they violate that oath, they should be immediately expelled from their position and an election held to replace them. That would
Absolutely.
Make them more responsible.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, no accountability.
Well, you remember back to the old Roman system where all of the Senate, you know, where all of the Senate basically had trials to look forward to after they got out for all the things that they had done that were, that they weren't allowed to do?
Where was that now? Where?
In Rome. In Rome, in the Roman Senate. Every senator had nothing to look forward to but a trial, because he made enemies during that time, and they were always going to come out and try him for the crimes that he might have committed while he was in office before. You know,
or assassinate him.
Well, yeah, that started with the Gracchi brothers. That really started with them. Yeah, you can't get rid of that one. That started with the Gracchi, and it just went. You know, they just went crazy after that. Everybody started hacking into.
You won't vote my way, you're dead.
But you know, man, if these politicians knew that by signing this bill and infringing upon our freedoms, that they were going to be tried for it afterwards, how many would do it? You know what's amazing? I was watching the reading of the Constitution by Congress, and I couldn't believe all the facial expressions on their faces as they were reading this. It was like they were reading it for the first time and realize, and you know, think, I didn't know it said that. I had
first
no idea.
First time since the eighth grade, yeah. But they ignored it anyway because they know better.
Oh, it's beyond ridiculous. There's so few people anymore that really have read and understand the Constitution. I was at a gun show about a year and a half ago, and I ran into a Tea Party guy, you know, passing out their little pamphlets and stuff, and got into a conversation with him. He was probably about 10 years older than me, and had only read the Constitution for the first time 6 months before that. And I cringed. I'm like, yeah, that's part of the problem here, because people don't understand the Constitution. They haven't read it. They don't. If you haven't read the Constitution lately, go grab yourself a copy of it and read through it. It's not that long of a read, and it's very important for us to understand this. You know, this is the foundation that we're working with here.
I'm going to read something from the Constitution that I think is rather intriguing. I was going to write an article a while back, but I figured somebody had covered it, and I wasn't following the story. But then more recently, I was talking to somebody, and I mentioned it, and they said, well, I hadn't heard that before, so I'm going to read it to you. 20th Amendment, dated 1939, I think, somewhere around there, in the 1930s. Section 3 of Amendment 20. If, at the time fixed for the beginning of the term of the president-elect shall have died, the vice president-elect shall become president. If a president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of his term, or if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president shall act as president until the president shall have qualified. Okay, that's interesting, because it talks about qualifying the president. This was done by a fairly recent Congress, 1931 or 9, so in the 1930s. Now, Congress submitted this to the states for ratification, so they knew what it meant. They did not delegate the responsibility to qualify the president. The states ratified it in good faith based on what Congress said would happen, that the president would be qualified. The Congress, since that time, has not set up a procedure for qualifying the president. Congress, all of them, are remiss because they failed to adhere to an amendment to the Constitution that required they delegate somebody, because you can't just, he's got to be qualified and God's going to do it. No, some entity has to have the responsibility of qualifying the president. And absent a delegation, it has to be those that wrote it. It's the only assumption we could make, that Congress intended to qualify the president. And they've been remiss in that, especially in this last election.
Yes, they were.
So, you know, it doesn't get touched on very often. But that's what we got today. You know, their attitude is fuck the Constitution.
Pretty much. I mean, that's plain and simple. You've got Supreme Court justices who say they don't agree with the Second Amendment, therefore it shouldn't be there. Well, you know, this Sotomayor, did she get placed as a Supreme Court justice? Yes. Did she get I mean, I know she was nominated. Did she actually get in?
Yes.
Okay. So
you
now
look
we got
at the recent decisions, and they say Sotomayor did not participate in this decision.
Okay, so basically what we have now is we have a Mexican national coming into the U.S. and deciding what our laws should and should not be, and what our Constitution, and the fact that our Constitution is not good in her eyes, so therefore it's not valid. She's not going to abide by it. That's what we have. It was never their place to interpret the Constitution, but to do nothing more than to defend our freedom and to enforce the Constitution. That's it. Never to rewrite it, never to reinterpret it, never to say, well, you know, times have changed. That was okay then, but not now.
Well, until 1803, the Supreme Court's only job was to hear cases in the categories listed. John Jay, I think it was the one that established a principle called judicial review, where they would review the constitutionality of a law. For basically, it was an oversight of the Constitution, because you can't have the president or the legislative branch decide what's constitutional. What if they're both in conflict with each other? So logically, the judicial is the one to do it, but that wasn't established until 1803. So when it was established, all of a sudden we had a principle that and I went back and read the decision. Someday I got to write an article on it, but I got my hands full right now. But he basically said when there is a dispute as to the interpretation of the Constitution as it applies to a law, then it will be the responsibility, and same thing I just said, the executive can't do it, the legislative can't do it, it will be the responsibility of the court to make that decision. That makes sense. What he said, when it's a problem of interpretation of the Constitution as it applies to a law, when it is how interpretation of the Constitution, interpretation of the Constitution. Now, you can't, if I interpret a language and I say, see, well, that means yes. It doesn't mean no or maybe or anything else. So the Constitution, according to Jay, has to be interpreted as it was intended. And for many years, they used Federalist Papers, for example, to try and determine the intent in those areas that were rather gray. And so with this judicial review, and now they, what's this, they call that judicial interpretation now? What do they call that?
Judicial review?
What they call now.
Judicial they do it in Ashwander.
No, what they call now when the Supreme Court, this federal justice in California says the new amendment to the California Constitution is unconstitutional. The legal term for that phrase anyway in Black's Law Dictionary is what's called judge-made law. That's the legal definition. There's a phrase, judicial something, that they use now to talk about these justices or judges telling us what the Constitution should mean. But in fact, the legal definition of that is judge-made law. Now, our Constitution separated the judges from the legislative branch and gave the legislative branch the only authority to make laws. Therefore, judge-made laws are unconstitutional. So when a judge rules that something's unconstitutional, that's a judge-made law. When the judge changes the meaning of the intent, once it's established, that's judge-made law. So that's judges acting as legislators, which is a violation of the separation of powers.
Yes, it is. They were not. That is not their job to make law. Their job is to.
Interpret the Constitution.
Their job is to preside over cases and punish criminals. That's it.
Right. Well, they don't punish criminals. They reside over cases. They review cases. The appellate court.
Yeah.
In the extreme case, they determine what the proper definition of the Constitution is. And one of my favorite cases was from 1890 thereabouts. It was called John Bad Elk versus United States. John Bad Elk was at his home, and a couple of deputies came up and said, "John Bad Elk, you're under arrest." And it was on a Saturday, I think. And he said, well, you tell the sheriff I'll be down there on Monday morning. No, you're under arrest now. John Baddell picked up his rifle and shot and killed John Kilsback, was the other guy's name. And the other deputy left then. John Kilsback had a weapon, but he had not raised it. John Bad Elk was sentenced to death, I think, in by the lower court, the federal court. He appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said if the arrest was unlawful, what he did is he said the lower court's instruction to the jury was an error, that if John Bad Elk was resisting an unlawful arrest, he had every right to shoot and kill the sheriff, and it would be a misdemeanor or no crime at all. Now, that was an interpretation of the Constitution, specifically the Fifth Amendment regarding warrants. That's what the Constitution says. Now, how can they change that today? The court decided what the Fifth Amendment meant, the requirement for warrants. But that's judge-made laws when they deviate from those decisions already pronounced and ruled on by the court.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous scenario when you have, you know, judges making laws, when you have for the president making laws, you know, that's not how it was laid out. You know, that's for the legislative branch to do, and only the legislative branch to do.
Not even then, but their ability to make law was greatly limited.
Yes,
they could not make
absolutely.
Any law which violated the Constitution or the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
And you know,
and apparently they've lost that.
You know, somehow, you know, Congress shall make no law restricting the right, the freedom, you know, the First Amendment. You know, there's 10 million laws that that restrict the First Amendment. There's 22,000 gun laws that restrict the Second. What part of the right to bear arms shall not be infringed do they not understand? Shall
they
not
infringe.
Well, they have trouble with that one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, shall
but
not
that's just
infringe.
It. And that's why the plan provides for an advisory council on the state level and a constitutional compliance convention on the federal level. To make sure that we get back to the Constitution, not by people that are busy trying to figure out. Remember, they're going to have no laws, and they're going to have to start passing laws. Are they going to stop to consider whether they're constitutional or not? And that's the whole reason for inserting these conventions that have to pass on the constitutionality. They can't pass the law. They can only say it's constitutional or it's not. If it's not, the legislature can't enact it. If it is, the legislature, by whatever means, majority or two-thirds or whatever is required by the Constitution, can pass it, because we are so far from the roots that we had with the Constitution, and it's just a little bit here, a little bit there. And identifying those little bits is an almost impossible task unless we back up to 1860 and then come forward again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a whole lot easier just to, you know, flush all the bad stuff and take the good stuff that we've learned and rebuild what we do need, what is constitutional, which does serve the better good of the people, and just leave the rest of that crap in the history books.
Yeah, you see the people in New Orleans don't go in their house that was inundated by flood. And, well, there's a little good drywall above the two foot below the ceiling, so we'll just strip everything out below that. They go out and take out the ceiling and everything. You get rid of it and build it back up when it's damaged that badly. And that's exactly what we're looking at doing.
Yep. Since 1860, we've been over-legislated, you know, to just absolute ridiculous proportions. And if we were to try to go and repair that, from where we're at right now, it would be such a daunting challenge, because as it is, we have so many laws that if one man wanted to read through and understand all that, it would take a lifetime of study. Now, come on, people. Really, you know, that's just ridiculous. We shouldn't have that many laws. It should be simple and concise, and it should all be constitutional.
Yeah, a little over 4,000 words created a wonderful nation, a few tens of millions of words have just put us in slavery.
That's just in the IRS code.
Yeah.
Well, that's, what, 20 million or something?
20 million,
phenomenal. 22
million, 23 million. It grows
something
daily.
Like that. Yep, because
you know,
these people...
We got, like you were saying, 4,000 words to free a nation, and we're getting bills passed that are 3,000 pages now.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
What the hell?
Yeah, these people have nothing better to do than just make more laws, make more laws, make more laws, make more laws. That's all they're ever going to do is just make more laws, make them as big and convoluted as possible so they can hide all their little special interest projects, their pork barrel, and their hidden agendas in there. And they're so big and bloated, it's to the point that nobody even reads them before they vote on them. I mean, you know, that's just kind of an offense to common sense. I mean, good grief. You know, there's no representation at all. They're not even reading the damn laws.
No, they're looking at their power and their paycheck.
Yep. Somebody else is telling them how to vote.
Well, sooner or later, we've got to end this program.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been on for a while now.
Well, it's a beautiful thing, you know, having our independent stream now, because unlike Blog Talk, we can stay live as long as we want. We don't get cut off. You know, and after the schedule, when we get a good conversation like this going, I'm perfectly content to sit and roll with it, because you know it's a thought provoking thing, and you know people listening to this, you know hopefully it reaches them and it gets them to start looking at things a little bit differently and understanding where we're really at and how we need to proceed.
Well, you're right.
Yeah. Well Jerry, those listeners, I hope. What?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
For those listening, I hope my rant didn't bother you too much and you learned a little bit. And thanks for listening to the great comeback of You Have Tread on Me Radio.
All right, Gary. Well, listen, you have a good night, man. I appreciate you coming on and talking with us tonight and joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
You know that. So, keep me advised on the rifle stock. Anything else I can do for you, man? I got the banner for it now, so we'll get that loaded up into the rotation on the banner rotation and stuff like that. And I'll start reminding people about it every day. See if we can't get more and more people involved. Keep reminding them that you know the only way this is going to change is if they actually take action.
Well, we have a new flyer coming out tomorrow, and I'll make sure that you get it first.
That works. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, Gary, you take care of it as always. Major education when you come on and talk, man. I've always told people, you know, you're my go-to constitutional guy. You know, I got my go-to
well, I appreciate
tactical
that.
People. You know, I got the go-to tactical people. I got the go-to financial people. You know, I've got the go-to political people. You know, as far as politics now and things like that. But as far as the constitutional history go, you're my go-to guy for that, man. So you know, hope more and more people keep listening to you.
Well, I appreciate it, Randy. Thank you, and good night, everybody.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, you take care, Gary. All right, everybody, well, it's going on almost 9:30 now. We've been on for 2.5 hours, well, a little bit less. We got a little bit of a late start today. So I wanted to throw out a couple reminders to people and, you know, leave you guys with a few last thoughts. Now I'll let Dave come out and say whatever he wants to say, and then we're going to close it up for the night. Again, Rifle Stock, www.riflestock2011.com. Again, like we said, man, if you're tired of waiting for the change to happen, the change hasn't happened because nobody's gotten up to make the change. So the question is when are you going to start getting up and making that change? It takes participation. So if you can, get out there. Riflestock2011.com. Get in touch with Gary Hunt about it. The radio show now. The radio show is going to be on Sundays and Mondays. I might bring on another day. I'm not sure yet. I've got some serious time constraints now. I'm starting up my own advertising agency again. I gave 2 years of me not working to the Patriot movement to try and get people, you know, active and participating and, you know, looking at things from a different way. So I don't have any more dollars to live on anymore. So got a new advertising agency starting up. Got to focus on that too. So I'm not going to be able to promote the shows as heavily as I was before. So the only way, really, that you're going to be able to get updates on the shows, who's coming on, what's going on, is by subscribing to an email list. If you want to join the email list and to get the emails for the shows, email me at randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. Randy Mack, M-A-C-K, at youhavetreadonme.com. My link is in the top right of the show page for my email. Put subscribe me in the header, and I will subscribe you to the email list, which will probably begin next week or the week after. The show times will be Sundays and Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Survival Sunday and Militia Monday. Something else, I've been posting this around on various forums as well. This show is about you guys. I don't have all the answers, I don't have all the info and all the skill sets out there that we're going to need. This is not my show or personality-based show or Dave's show. This is your show. If you have skills, based, you know, survival skills, communication skills, small unit tactics, whatever it is, that are survival and militia related or constitution related, and you would like to share those with everybody, hit me up. Let me know what you want to talk about. You know, what your area of expertise is. I want to bring back the Militia Medic show on Mondays. So I've been contacting people about that. If you have medical skills, let me know. Let's get you on that show. You get your subject ready and we'll talk about it. You know, that goes for anything. Planting, farming, growing your own food, alternative energy, whatever it is you have to talk about, whatever skills you have in, you know, that you actually engage in. Not just things you read about and you've never done. I'm looking for people that have real skill sets here. Let me know. I would love to have you on and share that info. We're only going to get stronger if we start teaching each other. So my email again is randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. You know, that's about it. You know, I would love to get some training, you know, some militia training aspects of the show going as well. But again, you know, I need people with those skill sets. Videos, you know, if you want to do videos or if you, you know, video your group training or whatever it is and you'd like to share that experience and what you guys are doing and why, let me know. So with that being said, everyone, thank you for everybody that came on. I appreciate it. If you could, again, I'm not going to be promoting the show, so if you could help pass the word on along about the show, we're only going to get bigger and stronger and more united if more and more people are listening. If you think that what we're saying here is vital and it's important and it is the way that we're going to regain our freedom, then please let other people know. Forward the emails on. Have them come and visit. Archives will be available shortly. You can find them at blogtalk.com for now, but we'll have our own archive page set up on the website here shortly and on various podcasts as well. So we'll start putting all that information out as also in our email, on our email that goes out about the show. So keep in touch, stay tuned, and give us your 2 cents. Also, 800 number coming in, hopefully next week, so you guys will be able to call in for free, our dime. Participate. Bring in your questions, your comments, your disagreements. Whatever it is you have, participate. Get active. Other than that, everybody be safe, be free. That's all I've got to say for tonight. Dave, I want to close this out.
I think you said it pretty well, bro. We're all in this together, you know, so get active, do something meaningful. Definitely stay in touch. Keep checking back on the website because there's going to be a lot of changes over the next few months as we take a really aggressive stance on, you know, growing this program and other ventures into the future. We've taken a break, you know, so we could come back, regroup, and come at this with a vengeance, learning from all the past mistakes and problems and embracing all the things that went right. So until tomorrow, everybody take care. Have a good night.
Hang on. One last thing. Also, Peach, Quizno, and anybody else out there, you know, I know that some people have said that they've formed their own committees of safety so far. Get in touch with me about these, please. If you have a committee of safety up there that's running, that's up, let us know. You know, we would love to help you get that thing up and running and get it really active, as well, you know, let people know who you are and how you can be reached. The only way people are going to be able to join this stuff is if they can find you. We've got the committee.org site set up to do just that. So, you know, get in touch with us. You know, we'd love to help you establish, you know, get your committees really up and running, as well as, you know, making them more effective and getting, you know, and getting you guys out there. Again, you guys are only going to get, you know, the only way to really get known is to show people that they are up and running and, you know, where they can join. So whatever your area, you know, minimal information. We're not looking at making a database here. All we're looking at is your general area location, you know, like, you know, if you're in Fresno, great. Don't want to know your address or anything. Fresno, Fresno Area Committee of Safety, your, you know, the Committee of Safety name or whatever it is, and a contact email. That's it. Not looking to make a database here, just ways for people to get in touch with you. So with that being said, everybody, be safe, be free. Beans, bullets, bandages. Remember that. Don't waste time on the people that are too blind to even ask questions. Focus on those that are beginning to ask questions and those that are asking questions. Start pulling them together in your local area. Start working together. That's the only way we're going to survive this. So it's good seeing everybody again. Hope you all enjoy the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.